The Source of All Truth, May 11, 1898. The Lord gives to human being powers for good, which, if cultivated to flow in right channels, are more valuable than gold. They will place man on vantage ground and will enable him to be an overcomer and a blessing to his fellow men. But if under temptation he yields to satanic agencies, he is influenced by the same inspiration by which the angels in heaven were led into rebellion and fell with the apostate leader. It is a mistake to suppose that because a man proves to be a traitor, as did Judas, that he has always been dangerous and wicked. If that which is given to man as a precious endowment, to be cherished and cultivated for high and noble purposes, is turned from the right and directed in wrong currents, Satan will use them to work out his purposes. And what are the elements which Satan can use? Envy, evil surmising, jealousy, suspicion, evil speaking, the power to make a lie appear truth. Those qualities of value, affection, truth, faith, justice, if turned in the wrong direction, become the opposite in nature. It becomes habit for the mind to disbelieve the truth and to build up theories to support injustice and an unchristian course of action. The Lord calls upon every teacher to inhale a higher, purer atmosphere. As they shall make the Word of God their study book, those who are doers of the Word will not seek for controversy, neither will they be tainted with the breath of bigotry. If all could understand the meaning of word bigotry, they would be ashamed to cultivate this element. The Lord wills that all shall stand in His clear light. That faith which works by love and purifies the soul will exalt and beautify the religion of the Bible. Frequently, there should be an hour set apart at a most favorable time for all the teachers to meet together for the purpose of studying the Word of God freely and comparing ideas to know how and what to teach the students. Seek to lay aside preconceived opinions and come to the Word of God as your lesson book. Search the Word as did the noble Bereans to see if these things are so. Read the third chapter of Titus. Our success in educational lines depends upon the spirit which we cherish and bring into the school. A profession of faith does not make men Christians, but if teachers will open the Word in study and compare Scripture with Scripture, they will find it profitable. The spirit of controversy must not come in, but let each seek to obtain that light and knowledge which he needs. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hebrews 2, verse 1-3. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4, verse 1-3. The school instituted in Kurenbong is to be a pattern school. All who act a part in it should be consecrated to God. Some time should be spent together in consultation as to the best methods of bringing present truth from the Word of God to benefit the students in the present term, and through these learners, send the truth of the Word of God to the nations of the world. We are to lift up our standard. The Bible, and the Bible only, is to be the foundation of our faith. The Word is to be lifted up as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. The most learned cannot add to this Word without adding unto himself the plagues written in this book. The study of the Word is greatly neglected. If the Word is studied with humility of mind, the Holy Spirit will make its application. The entrance of thy Word giveth light, says the psalmist. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. It sends forth to all who study its divine principles precious beacons of light. It is better than any drugs and will give physical soundness. Those who have laid aside the commandments of God for the commandments of men have a spiritual melody which means death to them unless they repent. They are badly bitten by the serpent. The uplifted banner on which is inscribed, the Bible, and the Bible only, reveals the whole duty of men. Read the 6th chapter of John. Who can take in the words of the greatest teacher the world has ever seen? Listen to his description of the hoard. If received into good and honest hearts, uncumbered by the interpretations of higher critics, if left to be understood in its pure simplicity under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it will to be a mysterious something which no one can understand. The Word is to be studied by all who claim to be Christians and practiced by all who go forth as missionaries to other countries, to raise the standard higher and still higher, and to purpose to sink or conquer in defense of its principles and under its protection. What if all who claim to be Christians should covenant together to adopt this as their common standard, with Christ as their leader, the captain of their salvation? Their banner would be the representation of harmony and cooperation with divine instrumentalities. As soon as the Bible is open to the understanding of those who are in darkness, and their attention is called to the Word, light and grace from Jesus Christ will lead them to behold wondrous things out of His law. Great truths that have been buried beneath a mass of rubbish will be discovered. Christ, the light, the truth, came into the world to remove the rubbish of human opinions, to bring to light the jewels of truth, and to let them shine forth in their native purity. He, the author of all truth, redeemed the precious truth from the companionship of error, and set it free, that it might send its bright beams nigh and afar off. Read Isaiah 58. Study verses 10 to 14. The most precious truths were concerning the law of God. The great standard of character was to be lifted up from beneath the feet of men and made to become just what God intended it should be, the transcript of His character. It is eternal truth, truth which cannot be changed or annulled. The truth, made an outcast, was lifted out its rightful position, to the throne of the infinite. Christ proved Himself to be the Word and the wisdom of God. When this work is done, the book, supposed to be sealed, sheds forth its bright rays of light which have been unheeded and unseen. A flood of light is poured forth upon the rejoicing faithful ones. In the last times, children's voices will be heard as when Christ in His childhood was in the temple, solving mysteries which priests and rulers had not discerned. Children in their simplicity will speak words which will be an astonishment to men who now talk of higher education. The field is the world. There are many to be brought to the plainly revealed Word, independent of the sophistry of men. Thousands will read with opened eyes and understanding minds the truths which their prejudiced spiritual conception could not heretofore grasp. These truths will stand forth in their spiritual bearing with a power and dignity and beauty which many who have read them never before perceived. Jesus Christ spent His youth in poverty and manual labor, working at the carpenter's trade with His Father. He attended no school. All the lessons He received were from the lips of Joseph and Mary. His daily lessons from the Old Testament scriptures, the Sabbath service at the synagogue at Nazareth, the yearly festivals in the temple, and the communion of his soul with God were his educational advantages. These are the great educators of the mind and heart. The book of nature was open to him, and this, with the Old Testament scriptures, was his lesson book. These contained important lessons, richer knowledge than all the productions of human art and learning. And these were accessible to all. Jesus had no temporal advantage over the humblest citizen. The Jewish doctors knew of Christ's humble position, and they were astonished at his learning. The question was asked, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" John 7, verse 15. And on another occasion the question was asked, "Whence hath this man this wisdom? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph, and Simeon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" Matthew 13, verse 54 to 56. Christ taught the world as one who learned nothing from it, one who was independent of it. He was the divine Son of God. Prayer was a subject that Christ urged upon the minds of his disciples. He would conduct them to the same fountain of light from which he, in his humanity, received his strength and power. His heart yearned to have men receive the greatest gift heaven could bestow. Therefore, he gave them lessons which, if heeded, would enable them to commune with God. He taught that man needs to be brought to the footstool of mercy and under the bow of promise, and that there he is sure to receive the best of heavenly gifts.